This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
And that is that. So when I see people, step into self-glory, oh gosh, it just turns my stomach and they swallow the microphone. I remember when I first became a Christian, there was a group of about 3,000 people, and there were no musicians, but they were singing Abba, and then the whole crowd would go Abba, and it felt so wonderful to collectively just be one of many, and no one, there was an initiator. But then the initiator stepped back from the microphone and didn't swallow the mic, so our Father in heaven could hear everybody equally. You know, I want to hear the lady next to me if she's singing, even if she's off key, some little old lady, because her brokenness and her sincerity touches my heart. I don't, the bands, you go in there now. I was attending a church recently, and they're handing out ear stopples. My friend David, he attends a church in Albany, New York. They're handing out ear stopples. Why not say, hey, did you consider turning the music down?
Where in the Bible does it say, call him louder, call him louder, call him louder? That's the idol of Baal. As it's, so, yes.
It is? Wait. What did you say about Baal there?
Baal. Baal didn't respond, so they were calling him louder, and nothing happened.
Right.
Yeah. So the false gods of the people.
So God can respond to a whisper you're singing. It doesn't have to be loud.
The most profound moments are those moments of, we call rests in music. The great masterwork of Beethoven, the Missa Solemnis, the Grand Mass. It's so hard, it's almost unsingable. It's fast and furious, loud, lots of singers, lots of orchestra. Then all of a sudden, there's this profound moment of silence. And then just like the dove descending, there's this violin with an overtone very quietly descending from heaven. It's the most profound moment with that silence. So we forget to punctuate worship with silence. We fill it up with sound, lots of sound. Well, God speaks to us in that, but God speaks to us in the quiet moments as well.
And may I add this now? I'm not a musician. I am a musician. I've been playing guitar since I was 14. I'm 68, but I don't read or write music. But I've always said this. I said it's the spaces that make music. Because if I go, that's not music. But if I go, it's the spaces that make it music. Am I right?
It's more than that. That's the punctuation that makes it understandable. If you're singing, you have to understand the words. If you're singing a phrase is like a sentence. A phrase is a group of notes. It rises and it falls. And a phrase in famous conductor talk is emphatic. It's a bunch of notes moving through a rise and fall. We all of our music goes back to the Renaissance and before, early days when we had the chant. Yeah, Pope Gregory put them in a series, and we call it Gregorian chant. But chant,
I love those chants.
But they're neumes. They're not notes, and there's no exact pitch. They go up
neumes,
NUME, little square things, diamond things. So they're just, it's up and down. In every different city in Europe where they started them, they had a different standard for their pitch. Now we have A440 as our A, but it was different standards. But the rise and fall, there wasn't a meter, so your rise is called an arsis. So the phrase rises in the thesis, then it settles down. So
For instance, can you hum that?
Ma be da 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 di da da di. O come Emmanuel was a chant.
O come Emmanuel, yeah.
There's energy in it, and it settles. And a lot of the band music I hear is just no, 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 boom, no, 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 boom. It's all level. It's kind of boring, and it all sounds alike. When the real spiritual piece of this is how the music comes alive in the interpretation of the music. And by the way, there's some punctuation, like you're talking about, that gives its character and helps us catch up You know, if a speaker is on, as a keynote speaker, I learned to employ silence because people can catch up to where I was. They can focus on a particular moment. So one of my four leadership principles is value, the last one, which makes the others powerful, value the rests. How do we care for self? In music, we have rests, and those are punctuations. It's not just absence of sound. It's a punctuation, like that example I gave you with the Beethoven Mrs. Lemnis. And then that sets up the next place. It gives you the respite. It gives you the collection of your energy time, and then you're setting up for the next thing to happen.
Well, it's President John F. Kennedy, they say, use the Irish pause. They call it the Irish pause in the speaking world. And ask not what your country can do for you, rather what you can do for your country. I mean, and so when somebody breathes like that, it pulls you right in. So he was a great speaker. I wanted to ask you this. I have a pastor friend of mine, and his church is growing exponentially. And, you know, in our world of criticism, I've had a couple of preachers actually criticize this new preacher, fairly new in America, and because he has when the musicians are done and they leave the stage, they leave the piano player there, and he or she will quietly play behind him while he's preaching. I see no fault in that. You know, I guess some of these preachers are saying, oh, it's manipulation, and why do they turn down the lights? You know, the lights should be up and bright. All this criticism. Do you think it's wrong for a preacher to have music? I mean, the prophets of old called for the musicians, right?
I think it's wrong to criticize.
Thank you.
Now, what works in one setting is nobody else's business. That sounds like petty jealousy. You know,
yes.
This is the, you know, there's more than one right answer, and God created us all differently. Churches are all different. The formula for failure is we're trying to be like somebody else. We're trying to be like some other church. And, you know, you don't emulate somebody else. That's inauthentic. You are who God's called you to be as a person, as a community of faith. And part of what the problem with is the mainline churches are declining so fast is because they're trying to just put a mold together. They have an event. It's not a worship service. They announce, you know, I got this thing in my hand. They call a bulletin. They got a screen. It says hymn 487. It says stand. And then up on the screen, it says 487, please stand. And the person tells us to get up and say, we're going to stand for hymn 487. They're treating me like an idiot, but they're also drawing attention to themselves. And it interrupts the flow of worship. So there's lots of bad practices with the music, with the worship. You know, music is integrally a part of worship. You can't separate. It's all the flow of the service, and the music is so important. So in traditional churches, that's called a chancel. It's the stage, and it's you know, people leave the chancel, and there's a pulpit and a lectern, and those are set aside words that make it different from just a regular secular setting. And what we also do is we get up and say, oh, good morning. Well, so we might as well be in a Rotary meeting. There are lots of, this is the day of the Lord may, let us rejoice and be glad in it. There are many greetings to welcome people. Oh, and thank you for being there today. Now, that's a big ego trip. It's not about you, buddy. We didn't come for you to thank us. We came to worship God. So there's lots of dumbing down we've done in worship, and we've accepted it as normal practice. And we've, over the decades, the churches, the standardized mainline churches have shot themselves in the foot and done things which really have sent people outside, and people to think the churches, especially millennials, think the church has done damage. And the ones that have grown up in Bible studies and in choirs and in music ministries are still a part of it because they had a meaningful experience of worship. And the only drawback in having just a band for worship and not having a choir and a graded choir program is there's not that port for people to enter into active music ministry.
I believe in the end times, we're going to see gatherings, and there won't be, now this might offend some people out there, but there may not be any preaching. That God will, in fact, inhabit the praises of the people, and there will be instantaneous healings and revelations and miracles.
When I'm in gatherings of preachers, I've become very unpopular. I say, preachers, it's time to get cross-training. Learn to sing. Learn to be in the choir, because you know what? When you get to heaven, there's nobody to preach to, nobody to convince, but you can sing.
You know, it's funny you should say that. This may sound so almost like moronic, but about a year ago, I gave some money to somebody who needed some money, and total stranger. And of course, she had a little tear in her eye, and then goodbye. And I went back to my car, and I had a little tear in my eye. I felt good about being a giver. And then all of a sudden, I kind of felt like I heard the Lord say, you know, give as much as you can now, because where you're going next, nobody's going to have need of your money. And I thought, wow, can you imagine if this is one bump in eternity where we have this vacuum, this place, this window of opportunity to give to others that are in need? And if you can you imagine if you are conscious and you're a billionaire and you're floating up to heaven and you go, I could have fed those people. I could have, you know, I don't understand. I try to convince my wealthy friends, you know, it's go out and have some fun, give away some money, help people.
Well, you know, we are distracted. I don't know if you know the name Father Richard Rohr, R-O-H-R, but his epistle today, he deals with the dangerous precedent we've set up with this facade in the Christian church, a cult of innocence. But we've really diverted from what biblical principles are in a lot of our worship traditions. And
okay,
as you point out, the Bible, music is an integral part of our faith journey. And it's always been a part because it's that spiritual physical connection. But it must work together. But we've really gotten outside of what I think the Bible has called us to be and to do as communities of faith. And that's why we're having, and we're in very, very distracted times, very controversial times. People are segmented, and that's coming into the church, which is very damaging. When you're singing together, you're not yelling at people. When you're singing songs of faith, it feeds your spirit in ways you're not aware of.
You know, Peter recognized suddenly Jesus was the Messiah, and he fell at his feet and said, depart from me. I'm not even worthy to wash your feet. I'm a bad man. You know, you go into a church and suddenly, you know, a broken and contrite heart, it is written that broken and contrite heart the Lord will not despise. And I don't know, I presume this happens to other people. I know it's happened to me. I'll go in, I've got the fragrance of the world on my shoulders from the past week, but all of a sudden, I feel the presence of the Lord and the music. And then, of course, then I'm repentant and broken because now I've entered into the better place, into connection with my Holy Father. And
tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.